Well, on Christmas Day at 2011, Jack Monroe was on her own in a cold flat with no telly, no presents for her one-year-old son and no food in the fridge. It had been turned off at the mains anyway. She describes herself then as unemployed, broke and broken. Well, 2 years on and things are really quite different. Soon after that, very cold Christmas, Jack started to write a blog about feeding herself and her son on a tenner a week, and her cheap recipes attracted a big following. Now she has a regular column in The Guardian, she's got a book out next year, and she's just been announced as the new face of Sainsbury's. Her online petition spurred a parliamentary debate tomorrow on the causes of food poverty, and her blog, A Girl Called Jack, is a big hit all over the world. Henrietta Harrison met her and her now three-year-old son at their home in Southend.
My store cupboard's quite well organised. I know it doesn't look it, but you know, my baking things at the top and sort of my carbs and things in the middle, and everything's from the basics and value ranges, because when you're cooking with things you take simple ingredients and you make them into something much better. So I think, well, to me, lasagna sheets are just lasagna sheets and chopped tomatoes are just chopped tomatoes. It's what you do with them that counts. You better come on in my kitchen.
Yeah, can I just have? I'm just going to get down on my knees,
yeah,
which you have to do to actually get into your
yeah,
fridge, don't you?
I know. I'm quite a small person.
So again, it's lots of basic stuff, but also free-range chicken.
Yeah, I use free-range meat.
Right.
Well, I don't eat a lot of meat these days, and I think I'd rather eat free-range meat than eat lower welfare meat, because I can eat a good vegetarian diet. So I think there's no reason to not, if I can't afford to buy a chicken this week. But it's been a good week, so I've got some chicken and some turkey in there.
And then you've got leeks,
yes,
beans, mushrooms, peppers. One of those fridges where you really have to move things to find things.
Yeah, it's nice to have a poke around and remember the things I've got lurking at the back sometimes, but I do get to crisis point every now and again, and I think I've got some rather sad looking leeks sitting in there, and I think, right, it's going to be leeks all week now.
It's a small kitchen, but every inch of space is used.
Yeah, the kitchen, although it's small, you can tell that the people that own the flat used to cook, because it's been really well designed to use.
You're quite happy with the size of the kitchen. You don't aspire to having a larger kitchen.
I quite like the challenge of being in a little space. And although one day it would be nice to have a big farmhouse dining table, it's not really on the priority list. I don't really feel like I'm missing very much. But I mean, I work in here as well, and me and my son cook in here together, and although it looks a little bit chaotic, it all works really well.
Mummy, why is there some sugar on the table?
That's flour. Now put your hands in the flour to make your hands all floury, so that your biscuits don't stick to your hands. And your other one.
Mummy, this one's not quite got some sugar on. Well, this one hasn't, see?
Yeah, you'll be fine. Right, now you can have this bit, and I want you to squash it up in your hands.
Squash.
I write mostly about food these days, so I write a food blog centred around cooking on a low budget. I left my job about 2 years ago. I was working for fire service, and I found it quite hard to find employment around my childcare hours after that. So to cut a long story short, I was living on a budget of about £10 a week for myself and my son. And I started to write about what I was cooking, and I've carried on, because in today's economic climate, it seems to be something that turned out to be quite useful.
Can you just give me an idea of some of the recipes or tips that have been particularly well received by your readers?
My most popular recipe is a carrot, cumin and kidney bean burger, which, because it's made from a basic can of kidney beans, which only costs around 21 pence from most supermarkets, they turn out about 9p per burger. And that was the recipe that really took off.
Recently you've been written about by Richard Littlejohn in the Daily Mail. He called you the poverty poster girl and went on to say you don't really understand your readers, because you're suggesting a kale pesto, and then he suggests that low-income families wouldn't know what kale or pesto is.
Yeah, that made me smile, but not in a good way, because I don't know if Richard Littlejohn is aware, but kale is just cabbage, and it's grown all over the country in farming communities and in poorer communities because it's cheap, it's hardy, resilient and quite easy to grow. So what Richard Littlejohn was saying in his article was that poor people don't eat cabbage, and I think I beg to differ, because it's one of the things that I eat quite a lot of. And his article stated that poor people only eat spaghetti out of tins. They don't eat pasta. And I was like, spaghetti is pasta. Whether it comes in a tin or comes with cow pesto on top, it is pasta. But I think that's, I mean, joking aside, it's one of the things that I find quite tiring is the generalisations again and again about the poor, about what the poor do and what the poor don't do and what the poor eat and what they should and shouldn't have, as though different foods have got different classes attached to them. I mean, we're not all chomping down on foie gras every night of the week, but it's not beyond me to put some kale in a blender with a little bit of oil and some cheese and make it into a healthy and nutritious meal. And just because people are financially poor doesn't mean they're intellectually poor or that they lack cooking skills or that they don't want to do the right thing for themselves and their family, or they don't enjoy good food. And I think the generalizations that come attached to what I do are just they display real ignorance and real stereotyping.
It is interesting that you are becoming more successful and you would imagine your salary will increase as you become more successful, as the book's released, you're signing up with a supermarket. Mm-hmm. Do you worry that it will be hard to continue to connect with your readers?
Yes and no. I mean, I can't see that it changes very much because I'm still cooking within quite a low and limited budget because I don't know how long this will all last. So I've got a food column with The Guardian at the moment and I get a modest income from that. But it's one of those things that could all end tomorrow. I know how this industry works. I'm cynical enough to know that I replaced someone, so someone could replace me. I also enjoy the challenge of it, and it's really rewarding to hear from my readers when they say they use my recipes and they've been really helpful and that they've helped them save money on their food shop. So although cooking on such a low budget isn't an absolute necessity for me anymore, I'm more doing it for my readers so that I can guide them along, if that doesn't make me sound too much like a beauty pageant speech.
Rest your head, my old friend.
I haven't had a Christmas dinner, I haven't cooked a Christmas dinner for myself for about 3 years, simply because of financial constraints and difficulties and not having the motivation to. And so I feel like I've broken the spell, really, of needing to have a traditional turkey with all the trimmings, because I haven't had it for so long that I think, well, I could do my own thing, I could carve my own tradition. So I've had a look to see how other countries around the world celebrate Christmas and to see what I could do within a budget, and I found a nice Finnish dish of liver and sultanas, and it's a casserole, and I think that's what I'm going to do this year because it's quite communal. I'll invite some people round and do a liver casserole, a roast ham, some bread. I'm looking forward to surprising people, so as long as they're not listening, looking forward to surprising people with that one this year.
You just blown that. Yeah.
I have just blown that, but I don't mind. I think they'll still come round for the curiosity.
Henrietta Harrison, the reporter there. She'd been to Southend and the kitchen and home of Jack Monroe.